Good morning. I don't know if some of you have noticed, but a couple of times recently I've been asked to do some scripture reading during the service, and Christopher always seems to give me these long passages from the book of Ruth lately, and it hasn't gone unnoticed. Somebody mentioned to me that because of that, today better be the Reader's Digest condensed version, so, so we'll see. But today we want to talk about trust. Trust is something that doesn't seem to come easy in our world today, but many ask for our trust, from politicians, even to people who are trying to sell us something. How many times have we heard someone trying to sell us something to say to us, trust me? But there's only one place that we can place our trust, that we can be sure it will never be misplaced, and that is in God. And this is what we're going to look at this morning, this trust in God. Consider with me these verses in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, probably familiar to many of you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Verses very familiar to all of us, right? I remember seeing them written out on a wall that was in front of me a lot at the camp I worked at. It was a wonderful reminder for me as I was leading a cabin of 8 10-year-olds with the help of a junior counselor deep in the heart of the wilderness of the Adirondack Mountains. And I readily admitted there that I needed to trust in God's strength and his wisdom to lead those children that were from the metropolitan New York area that were now deep in the heart of the forest of the Adirondacks. In my youth, I knew that I needed to trust God's help to lead me in a task that was greater than me. But if we're honest, trust doesn't always seem to come easy. And sometimes as we get into adulthood, we try to rely on ourselves, our own wisdom, and our own experience. So these verses serve as a good reminder to us. Trust in the Lord. Now, this word translated trust in verse 5 means to lie helpless, face down. It depicts a servant that is waiting for the master's command in readiness to obey, or a defeated soldier yielding himself to the conquering general. It speaks of an all-in kind of trust. Trust is crucial to relationships, and especially our relationship with God. When you think about it, as we said before, he is the only one that we can trust completely. He will never let us down. Only God is thoroughly reliable, thoroughly trustworthy. A.W. Tozer once came up with a list of the attributes of God that make him 100% trustworthy. Listen to this list and see why our trust is never misplaced when we put it in God. He said that he is all-wise, infinite, sovereign, perfectly holy, omniscient, perfectly faithful, omnipotent, self-existent, self-sufficient. He is just, immutable, in other words, never changing, merciful, good, gracious, and omnipresent. Some big words here. But they mean that God is totally trustworthy. And from his character then flow these reasons that our trust in him is always sure. Think about these with me. The Bible tells us that his love never fails. 1 Chronicles 16:34, for instance, says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He will not let you fall." Psalm 121:3 tells us that. Proverbs 3:26 and Luke 22:39 and Psalm 121:3, "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber." He has good plan for you. We talked about this last week in Sunday school. In Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." We can trust him because he knows he will. We know he will protect us. In Proverbs 35, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. We can trust him because we know he will provide for us. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. We can trust him because he will lead us. Psalm 23:3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He will guide us. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye to you. We can trust him because he will comfort us. And John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. We can trust him because he will teach us. In John 14:26, the previous verse, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Trust in the Lord. After we're told in our passage to trust the Lord, we are told how to trust him with all that we've got, all your heart. Trusting in God with all your heart is putting your total dependence on him. Yes, God expects a wholehearted trust. But we all can be vulnerable to a momentary lack of faith and lack of trust if we're not careful. Even David, who God called a man after his, God's own heart, had his moments where he lacked a wholehearted trust in God. In 1 Chronicles 21, we find an instance of this where David, as king of Israel, after all God had done for him in Israel in the past, did not trust him completely for the protection of Israel and looked to seek comfort in the size of his army. So he ordered Jacob to take a census of the men in Israel. Even Joab questioned David on this, reminding him that God could add to the size of Israel's army by 100 times if he wanted to. So there was no need to count the men. But David insisted that he do it. David was not trusting God wholeheartedly and was putting his faith again in the strength of men. God rebuked him for this. And not only was he punished, but so was the nation of Israel. It's interesting to note from this lesson given through David that our lack of wholehearted trust can result in negative consequences not just for ourselves, but also for others. Let's be reminded of a couple things that will help us trust him wholeheartedly. We can trust him wholeheartedly because, as we saw earlier, God is omniscient. In other words, God is all-knowing. He knows what we have need of even before we ask him. Isn't it good to know that we have a God who is all-knowing? We also saw that he is eternal. He's in our tomorrow before it even becomes our today. What a comfort to know this. No matter what we're going through, he's got it and is already in our tomorrow taking care of our every need there. Now see how applying those attributes we looked at earlier can help us to trust God wholeheartedly. Not only is he omniscient and eternal, but he's concerned about our every need. Did you ever feel like God couldn't be troubled by your concerns, your problems, that they are too small to concern the Almighty God with? If you've been tempted to believe that at times, know that it's a lie and a tool of Satan that he uses to keep us from taking our cares to God. For 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast, which means to throw your cares, anxieties, and worries on him, because he cares about you. Yes, he cares about you. He cares about all of us. Whatever concerns you have, whatever your concerns are, they concern him. So whenever you're faced with problems, situations, and obstacles that seem insurmountable, throw them on him. He can handle them. We can also trust him wholeheartedly because he is consistent. You can count on him and trust him to do exactly what he says he will do every single time. Living in this world sometimes leaves us leery to trust others. We found that trusting others can lead to a dead end. Even if others let you down or have been found to be unreliable, God will never, ever, ever leave you down. You can always rely on Him. As we were reminded earlier, God is perfectly faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful by whom you were called, under the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. His faithfulness tells us we can trust Him. Knowing this, in the command that we are given in our text this morning, we must trust God with all our hearts. After all, isn't trust the outward expression of the faith that we have, as Christians claim to have? When we show trust, aren't we physically demonstrating the intangible element of faith? Aren't we living under God's authority and showing our commitment to Him? So the next command that we find in our passage before us is to lean not on our own understanding. At some point, some may think the Scripture is seeming to expect a lot out of a normal, sinful human being. Trust, complete trust even of God, is very hard. But then He tells me not to depend on my understanding. Didn't God give me the ability to think and reason? He did. But it must be submitted to Him and His will. Leaning on our own understanding and not God's can get us into a lot of trouble. Remember the example of David. And consider this reminder from Proverbs 28:26. Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. The problem, though, is that there are those times when we think that we know better than God. Now, we would never say that. We'd never come right out and say it, but our actions, based on our thinking, confirm it. How many times have we even heard people say, and maybe even ourselves at times, I know what the Bible says, but... Many of the Proverbs are credited to King Solomon, David's son. It is said that he was the wisest man in the world because he asked God for wisdom. But Solomon, who wrote these very words that we're looking at now, serves as an example of the danger of leaning on our own understanding. He started off great by asking God for wisdom and then building the temple. At first, Solomon pleased God and was obedient to Him. But then he began to think that he knew better than God. He assembled an army and imported horses from Egypt. He accumulated vast amounts of silver and gold and built himself a palace even more opulent than the temple that he just built. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Yeah, I hear the laughter there. So some of us don't see the wisdom there, right? He began to oppress the people and to fill his personal need for money and power. And all of those violated the laws set down for the kings in Deuteronomy 17, of which Solomon was well aware. He simply thought that he knew better than God. He leaned on his own understanding, and the eventual result was a split in the kingdom of Israel. Leaning on our own understanding can hinder us personally. We will make poor decisions, sometimes even poor life choices. And as we said before, those things can often even affect others. If we're not careful, we can even do this in our churches. How often in churches do we hear statements like, "We know that won't work. We've tried it in the past. We can't do that. It would cost time and money. It won't do any good. People don't respond to that. We don't need to meet. We don't have anything to talk about." Then if we persist in leaning on our own understanding rather than trusting in God with all our hearts, we will leave the path that God intended. Ministries will stop. We'll avoid doing anything new or perhaps anything that takes time and effort. We'll even just stop doing anything at all. I'm thankful. So thankful for Devonshire and the body of Christ here that is receptive to the Lord's leading through our leaders. But we must be on guard against leaning on our own understanding at all times, even corporately. So what is the alternative to leaning on our own understanding? It's to lean instead on God's truth. God's ways are not our ways. So we need to learn them from him and his word. Just a little back from our passage, in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." This is solid, reliable understanding that we can lean on and trust in so that we can build our lives upon him. Next, we're told, in all our ways to acknowledge him. Consider that. Do we acknowledge him in everything? All our ways. We're here in worship this morning. We're all acknowledging him. That's great. But how about Monday or Tuesday when you're out or about? Will you even think of God then? What about when things get tough at work or at home? As one preacher once said, he said, all too often, Christians separate their lives into God stuff and world stuff. We have Sunday and God stuff and then everything else. We have a dividing line the size of the Great Wall of China that separates God and portions of our lives. Sometimes some may feel they don't want God messing around in their lives. We control the other days of the week and we're happy with the divisions we make. But that takes us back to the scripture and the word that we find there. All, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That means that we're not allowed to separate our lives into zones. God and no God. With God, it's all or nothing. Then he will make our paths straight. He will make those paths straight. If we let God be the focus of our attention, if we let him lead our journey, he will make our path straight. But we need to remember that God's idea of straight and ours can often be very different. And I'd kind of like to share something with you from my own life on that point. I found this in my own life, that straight line and of God and mine definitely kind of seemed different. I went to Melrose Gardens, the church that I pastored in 1992, as youth director of the church. Throughout college, I had told the Lord that I would be anything but a senior pastor. Lord, you can use me wherever you want, just not that. After Bible college, I went to work in the activities department of a nursing home for a year and a half to take time to figure out where I was to go. And the Lord opened the doors to Melrose in some rather amazing ways. So I'm there 5 years as youth director with a wonderful mentor of a pastor who takes his vacation a month a year all at once and has me preach while he's gone. Remember, I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. But after these 5 years, also during that time, I'm sorry, he had two knee replacements. In like 6 weeks, he was out. And again, I had to preach and assist with the pastoral duties. And after these 5 years, this minister who had become my close friend, as well as my mentor, suddenly and unexpectedly passed away from a stroke, all in a matter of days. But I had said I didn't want to be a senior pastor. But the Lord called me a short time later to be the senior pastor. The Lord, through this congregation, the church family, had changed my heart, had changed my desire, and now I was willing to accept his leading in that. They were primarily an older congregation. As I mentioned earlier, I'd worked in a nursing home. That gave me a greater understanding and heart for their needs as an older congregation. It would have appeared to some as a rather windy way, but it turned into a straight path. Later, as the Lord brought me back to nursing home ministry through a different avenue, leading Bible study at a local nursing home on Wednesdays every other month, he led me to meet a hospice chaplain who worked for their hospice. This chaplain was going out for surgery and asked me if I would consider filling in for him at that for about 6 weeks, as his caseload wasn't that large. I prayed about it. I mentioned to the church board, and since the caseload was small and wouldn't interfere with my duties at the church, they said to go ahead as it was an opportunity to minister to others. As I did this, I fell in love with the work of hospice chaplaincy. But 6 weeks later, as he came back, praise the Lord, he was better, that experience was done. And in the meantime, I'd fallen in love with the work. On my last visit, I was coming out of a nursing home that I went to see a hospice patient. And as I was leaving that nursing home, I managed to see somebody that I had known a few years at least before that, who we'd worked together on a board at Hershey Med Center, a volunteer board, helping families. The circumstances how that came about were quite amazing, too. Through our own experience with Hannah, who was born with heart defects, being treated there. So I joined this board that helped to serve other families that were in that situation. So here we are in the nursing home. I'm passing her, and she's passing me, and she says, "Alan, what are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'll tell you what I was doing." I told her about the chaplaincy experience, and I said, "It's done." I said, "I fell in love with it, but it's done." She said, "You're not going to believe this." She says, "I now work for a home care agency that has a hospice, and we're shortly going to be looking for another chaplain. Ours is leaving." I mean, just, again, a twisted path, but the Lord turned it into a straight path. In a matter of a few weeks, to make a long story short, the Lord opened the door for me to go there to be a chaplain part-time as I was pastoring. Then through another series of circumstances, a friend of mine at the church, was my right-hand man, he started to date a hospice chaplain in another hospice. We get talking, and they have a need for a full-time chaplain. By that time, the Lord had really changed my burden and increased my burden for hospice ministry. And again, he opened that door and ended up there. But all these times, there was trust that had to take place along the way. Trust because it was something new, something different. And Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Times doubting. When the experience opened for the full-time one, you know, questions about should I do this, or does the Lord just want me to stay and doing what I am? You know, all kinds of questions. And then I went and interviewed, and it was like 2 months before they got back to me. And again, it was like, Lord, did I read this wrong? What? And the message kept coming back, trust, trust. And the door opened there, and I was able to go there. But all that point, all through the way, it took trust and a path that seemed crooked that he made straight. When we try to discern God's path, we often think we're going the long way around. We sometimes find doors closed or no doors at all and think we've reached a dead end. But God asks us to trust his leadership. Trust his leadership. Trusting God, in my case, I learned, meaning him changing my direction and pointing me towards the path that he had for me. But those times that those things happen, we need to not fear, but trust. And I don't know about you, but I need encouragement all the time to keep going. I need direction. Have you ever thought about the fact that a boat has to be moving in order to steer and go in a direction? And I don't mean just with the current, because in that case, the boat has no control at all. It will eventually crash into the bank to get snagged on the bottom. Consider the difference between a sailboat and a rowboat. In a spiritual rowboat, the sailor is dependent on human effort. In a spiritual sailboat, the sails are raised in faith, and the undying power of the wind of the Spirit moves the boat. It's still entirely necessary that the boat move, but the power source of the sailboat is unquenchable. The power of the boat does not exhaust the crew. The boat moves with the force of the Spirit, and then a general direction is set based on the prevailing wind. God can only lead us if we are willing to move. He can only use us if we live under his authority. He can only use us as we ultimately trust him. In our own lives recently, it seems that we've experienced, Jen and I, a season where, again, it's learning to trust God. As we now have become the parents of those who are at college, not just at home, again, there's a whole new trust that must be exercised in God, that he will watch over our children. And so we're learning again what this lesson of trust is all about. And as I've read these words recently, they've just come back and really spoke to my heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. Father, I pray that today you would help us to keep our eyes and our trust on you, recognizing that you are the one who makes our paths straight. Even at those times that the path before us isn't easy to see, even at those times that the path may look crooked, that Father, you can straighten that path, make it your straight path as we trust in you. Help us today, Father, to exercise that trust in each and every day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.